You're listening to Resurrection Life Podcast with your hosts, Father Steve Mattson and Richard Budd, the podcast of the Church of the Resurrection in Lansing, Michigan. In today's episode, we talk about Res Life with a special guest star. We hear a reflection on the seventh beatitude, Blessed Are the Peacemakers. And we hear a poem by Christina Rossetti, A Better Resurrection, read by Sandy Walczak. Welcome to Resurrection Life Podcast. So, Maureen, we've got you onto the podcast, though, today, because we want to talk about a new ministry at the Church of the Resurrection, which I'm sure people are starting to hear about if they haven't noticed yet, but it's the Resurrection Life Res Life ministry. We call the podcast Resurrection Life Podcast, but this is a ministry distinct from the podcast. So why don't you explain what exactly is the Res Life ministry?
Sure. The Res Life ministry is a relationship ministry that was put into place in order to strengthen marriages and families at the Church of the Resurrection and also in the geographic area surrounding our parish. And so we are a team supported by a whole network of volunteers. And as a team, we are designing events and programs with the intent of putting the focus on relationships, trying to strengthen relationships, specifically marriages and families. So we are looking at events for all different groups of people, single, engaged, married, people post-marriage or who haven't married who are later in life, trying to make it normal for everyone at the parish to work on their relationship, regardless of what their state is in life.
Okay. What is the hope that if people have strong relationships, what is that, what are the outcomes that Father Steve or the team, what are they hoping for?
Sure. So research has shown that children who grew up within an intact family are statistically more likely to attend church as adults, no matter what year they were born in. The key element is an intact family. And so the mission, the purpose of Res Life Ministry is to try to protect the family and strengthen the family so that children within our parish and the surrounding area are more likely to grow up within an intact family and then down the line attend church as adults and stay close to Christ.
So from what I'm hearing you saying, it doesn't really matter what generation you're from, whether you're a boomer or Gen Z. What really is determining whether or not you're practicing your faith is whether or not you grew up in a family that had intact relationships.
Exactly.
So then what I did then conclude then that because it seems like in general, the older individuals tend to go to mass more often. Does that mean that that's just because they, in general, we're painting with a broad brush here. In general, they grew up with more intact families?
I believe so. I mean, the marriage has deteriorated. Like the rate at which people are getting married has declined. The rate of divorce has drastically increased. And so I think it's over 50% of marriages are not intact. Or like, I should say, children are not growing up within an intact family in the majority of situations now. And that's a difficult thing to hear.
Yeah, sure. So for those of us that want a strong church, strong numbers of people that are coming to church, that are hearing the gospel, that are receiving the grace of the Holy Spirit, a route to ensuring that people are coming to Mass, coming to the church to know God, is to help them grow up in families that are stronger and more healthy.
Yes, exactly. So if you think about it, it's all about relationship. Like it's our own relationship individually with Christ. Mm-hmm. And within the parish, a primary reason why someone will go to a particular church is because they form relationships mm-hmm. with people that are there. So hopefully the first relationship was with Christ, but then over time people get to know other people within the community, and then a sort of family forms within that parish. There's a beautiful relationship that can develop. And so our hope is for so many people within the parish, even at our own parish that is very healthy in many ways. In the survey that we had this past summer, where we asked questions, Father submitted a survey to the parish asking questions in regards to family of origin and, like, did your parents attend church and mm-hmm. what was it like growing up? The intent of that survey was to understand people's backgrounds and whether or not they're lonely now. Mm-hmm. And we have many lonely people at our parish. Mm-hmm. And so the survey was able to show us statistically, like, which groups of people are lonely and whether they're single or married, are they male or female, so that we can better understand who to minister to. We want to be able to minister to the parish as a whole, but within Res Life, we take a targeted approach where we're not generally going to have just huge events that are for everyone. We want to have something that's specific to couples or to singles or to families. Targeted audiences where we can provide the content or the environment that works best for them mm-hmm. instead of just putting everybody together.
Yeah, you talk about that that survey. I got to see some of the data of that, and one thing I thought was really striking was that in the Church of the Resurrection, unusually high number of women say that they're satisfied in their marriages. So I just want to shout out all the husbands at Resurrection. You're doing a great job. Keep going. The women have to do a little bit more work. The husband said that they're not as satisfied.
Let's just remember the data can always be skewed one way or another. So let's not get carried away.
I thought it was really enlightening. So way to go, Res Men. Uh-huh. So Father Steve, people may have heard him speak about something called Communio. Father Steve and I have talked about Communio a little bit on the podcast in the past. Can you maybe just explain a little bit, what is Res Life in relation to Communio? What's that relationship? How do they interact?
Sure. So Res Life is how Communio is being played out at our parish. Communio is a nonprofit partner that we have. They are focused on creating a full circle relationship ministry within churches. It's an ecumenical group, so they're not just working with Catholic parishes. And they equip churches with resources and strategic guidance, marketing funds, marketing support in order to help develop this relationship ministry and to support everyone from singles to married, marriages in need, married beyond marriage, basically all the stages of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so Communio is teaching churches how to form these relationship ministries. And it seems like a simple concept, just get people together and have a good time. But it's actually incredibly strategic in how they approach things, the different types of events and programs that they have. They have a lot of curated material that they've reviewed and shared with their partners. And so there's a tremendous amount of resources that we receive by partnering with Communio.
Would it be overly simplistic to describe them as a consultancy and marketing service for parishes?
Well said.
Okay. So Resurrection, just to speak a little bit wider, we've mentioned this on the podcast before, but in my role at the diocese as the director of marriage and family for the Diocese of Lansing, we partnered with Communio as a diocese to try to make this service more affordable for the individual parishes, because it can be quite pricey if a parish is going to go out on their own and do this. So through the partnership with the diocese and your DSA dollars at work, we were able to to make it a much more approachable option for parishes like Resurrection to enter into a partnership with Communio. When we entered into this partnership with Communio, Father Steve, he saw the potential and wanted to jump right on, right out the gate as one of the first parishes in the diocese. So Father Steve was really introducing the idea of Communio to the parish right at the beginning of our experience as a diocese. And so people may have heard him talk about Communio a lot. But at what point did you become involved and how did that happen?
So I was hired on late August, early September, joining the staff part-time, focusing specifically on Communio, which we then ended up naming Res Life.
Because you were bored and didn't have anything else
going
on.
You know, having five children, I was just twiddling my thumbs at home, wondering what could I possibly do to fill my time. Yes, I had no intent of looking for a job. I had just told a friend a few days prior to receiving an email about this job that I had no desire to work outside of the home. I was maxed out with what I had going on. And then Sarah DeWitt reached out to me, and she told me later that when my name came up in prayer for this position, that she actually laughed out loud because she recognized that I was a mother of five children, eight and under. And that was kind of ridiculous to ask me to take on a job. But in learning more about the position and then in speaking with you, Rich, because I knew that you understood well both the job and what it would mean and also knowing me and my own gifts and skills, I trusted your judgment and really relied on you and your discernment of whether it would be good for our family. And I was shocked and sort of dismayed when you said, yes, I think this can work. And I was like, what? So it was a big surprise to me and I think to Rich. We had actually, Rich and I had talked earlier in the summer. I remember a conversation where Rich said, who do you think at our parish would be good doing this job? And I was like, And we talked through names. And you know what? We didn't talk about my name.
So it never came up.
It was not an obvious thing to us. But as I have stepped into the role, I'm several months into it at this point. It has been very life-giving for me, mm-hmm. and it's been a good fit for our family. I've been able to work it into our busy family life. And so I am very grateful to be in this ministry.
Yeah, I think it uses your gifts and your skills in a unique way. That you hadn't been able to tap into for the last few years while raising our small children. And anybody that sits near us at the 9 o'clock mass knows the burden of raising our particular children.
You also know that you will be distracted at mass. So choose your pew wisely. Exactly. Sorry if we come in after you.
What do you hope that this ministry can, I mean, I know you've explained a little bit on a kind of a broader scale, like this is for relationships to help people grow in their faith. To grow in their relationship health. And then that can affect the faith of particularly children growing up in healthier homes. What hopes do you have for the parish that this ministry can have an effect at what kind of culture this builds in the parish?
So our hope with the ministry is that, as I kind of already stated at the beginning, that it becomes normal for the majority of people, and ideally all of the people, but for the majority of people at the parish to be working on their relationships and being intentional. And that means first and foremost being intentional in their relationship with Christ. But then coming out of that and being strengthening that is working on their relationships with their spouse, with their children, with their siblings, with their parents, mm-hmm. with friends, and really putting that focus on relationship and inviting other people in. So as this ministry has launched, we have been focused on the parish and just doing things internally within the parish. As we move on further into the ministry, we will be reaching out with the support of Communio and their marketing support to reach out to the greater geographic area and invite neighbors around Res into our events with the hope that these people will encounter Christ through relationship with us at Res. And, you know, in an ideal situation, pulling in people who aren't attending church and welcoming into the Res, into Res, and helping them develop their relationship with Christ and perhaps enter the church. That would be the ideal, right? Of like really bringing people into to discover Christ.
So end game here is we're offering these ministries to help grow in relationships to even non-Catholics and people that don't go to the church?
Absolutely. So the majority of the events and the programs that we have are going to be focused on opportunities for ongoing engagement with people, meaning like regular opportunities for community. And then there will also be, and those could be several months of the year, we would be having those kind of community events, but targeted towards specific groups of people. So we'd have like a singles event or a couples event, family event. The majority of the events will be geared towards couples because our primary motive is strengthening marriages in order to keep families intact. But we recognize that families are not insular. We're supported by all those around us, and that the people in the other relationship categories, we could say, need support just as much as the married folks do, or married folks do, right? But we are really trying to strengthen marriages and families. And then beyond that, reach out to the greater community and welcome them in through authentic Christian hospitality.
So if you have like a, let's say just hypothetically in the future, and I truly mean hypothetically, I'm not trying to signal something that's coming down the pike because I have inside information. But let's say we have a little workshop on parenting and somebody in the community gets an ad from Communio that there's going to be a parenting workshop at Resurrection. They could come in and hear what that workshop has to say and try to apply it to their own family life to try to be a better parent.
Absolutely. And we don't charge things for Res Life events. We're trying to be like remove the barriers for people to be able to attend these events or these programs. And so that means that whether you're a parishioner or not, we're making quality events or programs for people to attend, and often offering free childcare, which, as you and I know, Rich, is gold.
What's the difference between going or not going?
Yes, exactly. And so providing, and this is not an inexpensive ministry. Like, God bless Father Steve and the parish, the leadership team, for choosing to invest in this and seeing the need for this relationship ministry, because there it's a lot of effort and a lot of dollars to make it happen. But I believe that we have already started to see the fruit and that we will continue to see the fruit in the coming years.
And we often hear Father Steve talk about the, you know, what the parish stands for, you know, authentically Catholic, supportive of families. And I remember thinking, like, really the way that the parish was supportive of families was through the school. Because there wasn't, I don't know, I'm not trying to be critical, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot that was specifically or uniquely directed at families.
The young family group was.
Yeah, but that... Sure, but that's not necessarily
one niche.
Well, and it's not, it's kind of a thing that families are just doing themselves. It's it didn't really come off as a, this is an official like ministry of the parish.
Yes, that's true.
So, so this is what I think a really, strong, a unique way in which the parish is making good on the promise that they're supportive of families.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So obviously this isn't just you working on this. You have a team.
That's for sure.
Can you introduce everybody to who you have on your team?
Yes. So Father Steve, of course, is our leadership And then we have Debbie McPherson, who helps with all the administrative stuff, plus a gazillion other things. Ed and Michelle Rivett, and Pete and Lisa Kogan.
Okay.
And then myself.
And so how does the team, like, what is the, how does it work? Like, what is, are there specific roles on the team? Like, how do you work? How do you organize this team?
So I would say we're a young team, and so we're figuring out how to effectively function. So how we are now is not necessarily how we will be as we move on. But at this point, we had a planning meeting where we planned out the first 6 months of the calendar year, figured out what events we would be doing using Camudio's model and structure for types of events that they have and programs. And then coming out of that, we worked as a team to plan the events. And then the key to all of this working within the relationship ministry is recruiting volunteers. Mm-hmm. Without volunteers, we're burned out and we're sunk. Like, we couldn't do this without volunteers.
And you've got a fairly large group of volunteers that you're, that have stepped forward to help out.
Yeah, it's been beautiful seeing all different people of all different ages stepping up to help us with this ministry at the various events that we've done. And so the way that it works is we have our team that does the strategic planning and executes the event on a high level in terms of figuring out what needs to be done. And as much as possible, the team is present at the events that we have. But really, we're relying on the generosity of volunteers to pull everything off.
Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
And many hands make light work.
Yes, right? And really with Res Life, we're trying to have something once a month because you can't work on your relationship regularly if there's nothing going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so trying to do an event or program every month is a lot of work. And so we absolutely rely on the goodness of volunteers to make that happen.
So you had mentioned when you guys first started getting together, you had planned out 6 months of events. What have you done so far?
So the very first event that we did, we actually did before our team was formed. It was just Father Steve and Debbie and I on the team at that point. But the singles course that we did last November.
What was that called?
How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk or a Jerkette. It was all another name for it is Pick a Partner. But we changed it to the dating course, essentially. But it was a two-day course for singles to learn some practical relationship skills that was like scientifically based and also like spiritual stuff mixed into it. It was a strong program. So we had around 30 singles that attended that program. And one thing about Camudio events is that coming out of it, you always have a survey. And that's one of the ways that we measure the success of an event or a program is by gathering data. And a lot of it is subjective, right? It's just based on people's experiences. But coming out of that dating course, we had one person that said that it was a life-changing event for them. And for that person alone, it was worth all the effort put into it to have them be touched by the course in that way.
Mm-hmm. So what else have you...
Yeah, sure. So we did the dating course in November, and then it took some time to get the team formed and plan out the year.
Christmas in the middle of it,
And too. Christmas, you know. And we had another child coming in the midst of all of it, we discovered. Yes, since then, in January, we did the trivia night, which was stellar. We had so much fun. Mm-hmm. There were around 120 people that showed up. So that was a bit different than what I've described up to this point, where we've said we've tried to be strategic in our audience. We chose this time to do an all adults event, really because it was like kicking off Camudio to the larger parish, and because it was an event where it was an organic, natural way to mix singles and couples together in a way to build relationships. So trivia night was a ton of fun. We had all different types of trivia. We had lots of contention in which you yourself were involved in.
Listen, the last book of the Old Testament is not Malachi.
It is Second not, Maccabees. That is not the focus of our podcast. So trivia was a lot of fun, and that was really designed as a community building event and just trying to get people together having fun. We did do assigned seating to, so that we could try to mix people up. It was a lot of work and a bit dicey at times. So I don't know that we'll do it again, but
it was an extrovert's dream.
It was an extrovert's dream.
It was not an introvert's dream.
I would have loved to be seated at a random table. Rich would not. But the intent in doing that was to put the focus on, we want you to meet new people, or we want to strengthen relationships that might be, not be as strong for you, so that we don't just fall into our old circles and not reach out. Knowing that we have a lot of lonely people at our parish. And so for the people coming to this event who didn't feel like they had a place, we wanted to specifically give them a table to sit at so that they wasn't uncomfortable for them and they had a place to go. So coming out of that event, every person, I believe, that was surveyed, that responded to the survey, said that they felt included and that they had a spot, which I view as a high level of success for the event. I think the best feedback beyond that was the comment that said, do it again, which we plan to do. So we did trivia night, and then shortly after that, we moved into our 7-week marriage course. It's called Building a Eucharistic Marriage, and we sold out. I mean, it was free, but like we filled registration before it even really officially got marketed, because there's such a demand for this type of course, especially because we provided free childcare, or we are providing free childcare. So we have around 30 couples that participate every week. And then there are around 34 kids, I believe, in childcare. And then we have around 30 volunteers every week that are pulling it off. And the volunteers vary from week to week. We have a lot of people who have come every week to volunteer, which has been amazing. Mike Vashevitz is the cook for it. And so he has provided beautiful meals, delicious food. So these couples are coming in and having this whole date night experience, being served a home-cooked meal, and then having free childcare at the same time, and their kids are also being fed. And then we watch a course video called Building Eucharistic Marriage. And then there's usually about 30 minutes of private discussion time for the couples, which for parents of young children is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
So... And we also, Piper Fountain created beautiful centerpieces for the tables.
I've actually noticed that.
Well, that's very good. You noticed. Well done. And God bless Maurer's Textiles. Shout out to them. They provide table linens every week. And so we're able to create a really beautiful experience, even within Mercy Hall, to make it feel special for these couples.
Yeah, it's been... it's been a really nice atmosphere every week. There's been, you know, beer and wine served, like you mentioned, nice table linens, and it's decorated nicely. There's time for private conversation. What, as we look forward into the next few months, do we have on the horizon? Give us a little preview.
Sure. So, I will say all this with an asterisk. This is the plan, but it's not 100% settled, or 100% settled, but the likely plan will be that we'll be helping to host the Easter Vigil party that's gone on the past couple of years, but just help build it up more. And we will be using that. So this is the part, a party directly after the Easter Vigil Mass. So it will be in honor of those that have entered the church at Resurrection, but also a celebration of our parish feast, Church of the Resurrection.
Yeah, Easter is our parish's feast day.
And so just a big party for the parish.
If I could say, you know, we've been doing this now for a few years, and it was kind of small until last year. I don't know what happened, but it really took off, and it was so much fun. So many people that went to the Mass came over. We basically serve all of the hospitality with what people donate, what they bring in. And so many people made cookies or hot dishes or things like this. And then we were able to serve desserts and drinks and nice hors d'oeuvre type things. And we all got to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord together. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I remember I have not attended the party because I'm usually home with the children, But I remember Rich, especially last year, just really raving about how generous people were. And like in the foods that they brought, it wasn't just something they grabbed quick from Kroger. It was like baklava or like beautifully created.
Yeah, homemade stuff.
Creations. Yeah. So that's great. So we will support that by helping to recruit volunteers and helping with marketing. And then we will use that party as a launch pad to promote future Res Life events. And so that's where the asterisk gets a little bit bigger because we haven't finalized this as a team, but likely we will be doing an event for singles in May. And then in June and July, so actually May, June, and July, we will be doing a dating challenge, which is challenging couples to go on one date per month for 3 months. And then each time you go on the date, take a picture of yourselves, submit the photo to us, to our team, and then you'd likely be entered in a drawing for a prize. And then in August, we'll have a wrap-up party where we invite anybody that's registered to come to a cocktail kind of party and show all the pictures and just have like a community event for those that participated, and also give prizes for, you know, different categories of dates, most outlandish or most entertaining, whatever. We will figure out those details. But the idea is like celebrating and bringing people together. But as young parents ourselves, going on a date a month feels kind of impossible. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we'll be doing likely, again, asterisk, in June and July would be something like a drive-through date night. And so that would mean that we would provide free childcare at Res for maybe like 3 hours. And then parents could just, or couples, they don't have to be people just with children. Anybody can participate in this, a couple. But parents of young children can drop off their children at Res for free childcare for a couple of hours. And then the parents will be given a couple different ideas for dates that they could go on, like experiences or things that they can do. And they just get to go off site and go on a date. And if they want to do something of their own choosing for the date, they don't have to follow the ideas that we give. But the ideas that we share will include quick discussion questions to try to put the emphasis on their relationship. Mm-hmm. We may be doing a hangout challenge for singles, a similar concept, but instead of dates, you're just like hanging out together once a month. So just trying to encourage community. And then those folks would also be invited to the wrap-up party in August. And so to kind of backtrack and summarize that, it would be vigil party promoting future events and then event for singles. And also starting that month, which is May, kicking off this challenge for couples and for singles in order to promote dating and or dates for couples and hangouts for individuals.
So summer date night challenge.
Basically. Yeah.
All right.
So with a party at the end. And then of course there's always trivia night was a hit. And so I'm sure we'll be doing that again in the fall. And then other ideas that are not scheduled, but that we have kind of in the back burner of like, we would like to have them happen sometime in the next 12 months would be things like dance lessons or like a dance night, whether we have someone come in to do ballroom or salsa, but like some emphasis on dance. Another thing is potentially having an art instructor come in and do a paint and sip kind of event where couples can be taught how to paint a canvas, right? A specific scene and just enjoy a date night experience.
I'll probably do finger painting.
Yeah, no. That's not on the docket. So just kind of fun, other fun things that you wouldn't necessarily get to do, or if you did try to do it, it would be really expensive. And so we would be able to provide a good date night experience that's a bit out of the ordinary for couples to enjoy.
All right. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. And, you know, especially the maybe longer term plans of actually trying to reach out into the neighborhood and this also becoming a sort of evangelization. I'm really excited for that too, because I think this is a really unique way of trying to bring the light of the gospel to people. And so I'm excited to see how that might work out.
As am I. So I would ask all of the parish to please pray for this relationship ministry and pray for the team that's leading it and also for all of the volunteers. And then also to keep an open heart to becoming a volunteer yourself if you haven't already. If any of what we've talked about in this has spoken to your heart of like the desire to strengthen families and marriages, regardless of where you are in life, then please take that as the Lord inviting you to step into a volunteer role, whether you see it advertised or you're asked specifically by somebody on the team to participate, to help.
Yeah, it can just be a one night, you know, thing where you volunteer one time for something. It doesn't mean that you're locked in for the next 6 months.
No, not at all. Yep, one off is fine. Mm-hmm. But 6 months is great.
All right. Well, any last kind of messages or tidbits of information you'd like people to know before we wrap up?
I would just ask specifically for prayers for everyone involved in the marriage course that's going on right now. We have two more sessions, March 27th and April 10th. So prayers are appreciated for the couples participating, their children, and all the volunteers that are making it happen.
All right. Well, for another week, this is Rich.
And Maureen.
God bless. The Beatitudes, which are recorded in the 5th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, provide a blueprint of how we can respond to Jesus' offer of salvation and how we can love our neighbor. In the following reflection from Sean O'Neill, we reflect on the 7th Beatitude, "Blessed are the peacemakers," and explore ways in which we can respond to it.
Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Matthew 5:9. The term sons of God was a term used in the Hebrew scriptures to denote kings or rulers. In the New Testament, the term is applied as a title of Jesus as the Messiah. But in the context of the Beatitudes, it can be taken to denote those who have a special relationship with God or those who exhibit something of the nature of God. And so we can conclude that peace is one of the attributes of God that can be expressed by human beings. So, when Jesus says that peacemakers are sons of God, he's really saying that they show a very important characteristic of God. Jesus himself was a peacemaker. Remember that his typical greeting, especially after his resurrection, was, "Peace be with you." It was not just a commonplace greeting like, "Howdy." Just as in the creation story, when God speaks, things come into being. So, when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," it's not just wishing his hearers well, but actually imparting peace to them. But for us, what does it mean in practice to be a peacemaker? There is a chapter in the 15th century classic, The Imitation of Christ, which gives instruction on how to be a peacemaker. The opening sentence tells us quite plainly, "First, keep peace with yourself, then you will be able to bring peace to others." It sounds simple enough, but how many of us are truly peaceful of spirit? Isn't it the case that many of us go through life with anxiety, fear, and fretfulness, and that peace often seems to be a commodity that is hard to come by? For many of us, our disturbed frame of mind comes from the hurts of the past. Many of us were broken and wounded by the events of life, which have left us in a condition where it is difficult to trust that everything will turn out all right. After all, there is plenty of evidence from our past lives to show that life is a precarious balance of avoiding hurt and longing for comfort. True peace comes from complete trust in God. Trust in God seems to come naturally to us when things are going okay, when we are financially stable, when we're getting on well with our relatives and friends, when we are enjoying our job, when we are experiencing consolation from God. It's not so easy to trust in God when bad things are happening to us, when our future seems uncertain, when we are disturbed by family feuds, when we feel overwhelmed with all the bills we have to pay, or when we can't stand our work environment anymore. And yet, these situations are precisely the ones in which God is calling us to trust Him. How many times have we looked back on some harrowing situation which we were enduring and realised that things turned out all right in the end anyway? How many times have we looked back and wished that we had trusted in God's providence? God either ordains or allows everything that happens to us, good and not so good. And He allows bad things to happen because He knows that an ultimate good will come out of it. A good so much better than if the hardship had never arisen. God sees everything that is going to happen to us, and so He works His strategy to bring about our good in the end. As Peter Herbeck of Renewal Ministries once commented, God is playing with 1,000 chessboards at once, while we're still learning how to play checkers. St. Paul tells us this in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Can we dare to believe this? Can we have the courage to surrender everything into His hands, to let go of our fear, to trust in His all-knowing benevolence? He is a God who is playing the long game and sees every nuance of the future perfectly. And, best of all, we know that He loves us passionately and will never let us down, even if His ways are not our ways, our desires, or our whims. Once we can grasp that, we will find the path out of our misery and uncertainty into lasting peace and joy. So, once we have found the source of our peace ourselves, how and why should we impart it to others? In Philippians 4:6-8, St. Paul tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It would seem somewhat churlish to have discovered the secret to lasting happiness and peace and refuse to tell others about it. When we look around at the world, especially at the anxiety that is rife and the way everyone is trying to escape the pain of reality through drugs, alcohol, food, computer games, money, power and sex, surely our conscience must rise up and encourage us to tell them the answer to all their ills. St. Paul goes on to say, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." In other words, if we don't pass on the good news to those around us, then our own peace becomes disturbed. And how can we become peacemakers? Again, in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, he advises us, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." The way we impart peace to others is by not retaliating when we are hurt. But he goes further. He tells us how to love our enemies through simple acts of service. In a sense, we pass on peace to others when we show kindness to those who hurt us, when we forgive instead of getting even, and when we choose to love instead of hate our enemies. In fact, when we do that, we are engaging in spiritual warfare, or as St. Paul puts it, we are overcoming evil with good. There is nothing so guaranteed to spike the guns of our enemy, the devil, than when we resist the temptation to repay evil for evil. St. Gregory of Nyssa writes, "Now, what is held to be the opposite of love? It is hate and wrath, anger and envy, harboring resentment as well as hypocrisy and the calamity of war. Do you see for how many different diseases this single word is an antidote? For peace is equally opposed to every one of the things mentioned and wipes out these evils by its own presence. Just as illness vanishes when health supervenes, and as no darkness is left when light begins to shine, so also when peace appears, all the passions connected with its opposite are eliminated. One of the best ways in which we can maintain our own peace is by taking Paul's advice in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. This means we are being encouraged to thank God and rejoice in good times as well as in bad. We are being urged to pray continually. And the result? The God of peace will sanctify us through and through. Let's pray and ask the Lord for peace. Heavenly Father, help us to find our peace in you. Help us to trust that you always have our best good in mind when you allow the circumstances of our lives to be challenging. Help us to be serene and peaceful and to pass on that peace to others, even to our enemies. Amen.
We finish this episode with a poem by Christina Rossetti, A Better Resurrection. Read by Sandy Walczak.
Christina Rossetti. Christina Georgina Rossetti, who was born in 1830, was an English poet who wrote romantic, devotional, and children's poems. She was a sister of the artist and poet Dante Gabriel Rossetti and featured in several of his paintings. Rossetti was educated at home by her mother and father, who had her study religious works, classics, fairy tales, and novels. Rossetti began writing down and dating her poems from 1842, most of which imitated her favorite poets. In 1847, she began experimenting with verse forms, such as sonnets, hymns, and ballads, while drawing narratives from the Bible, folk tales, and the lives of the saints. Her early pieces often featured meditations on death and loss in the Romantic tradition. She published her first poems when she was just 18. After the death of the ever-popular Elizabeth Barrett Browning, Christina Rossetti gained success in England during her lifetime as the foremost woman poet of her generation. Her work fell out of favor with the advent of modernism, but regained some of its popularity later when scholars began to appreciate again her mastery of poetic forms. She wrote many religious poems and had a vibrant faith in God. The following poem, entitled A Better Resurrection, tells of the anguish of the soul in search of relief from life's troubles, knowing that only in Jesus can it find rest. A Better Resurrection by Christina Rossetti. I have no wit, no words, no tears. My heart within me, like a stone, is numbed too much for hopes or fears. Look right, look left, I dwell alone. I lift mine eyes, but dimmed with grief. No everlasting hills I see. My life is in the falling leaf. O Jesus, quicken me. My life is like a faded leaf. My harvest dwindled to a husk. Truly my life is void and brief and tedious in the barren dusk. My life is like a frozen thing. No bud nor greenness can I see. Yet rise it shall, the sap of spring. O Jesus, rise in me. My life is like a broken bowl that cannot hold one drop of water for my soul, or cordial in the searching cold. Cast in the fire the perished thing, melt and remold it till it be a royal cup for him, my king. O Jesus, drink of me.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Resurrection Life Podcast. Please tune in next time for more conversation, reflections, and Catholic culture. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to drop us a line to give us feedback or suggest future topics to feature, write us at podcast@corelansing.org. You can find the Church of the Resurrection online at corelansing.org. Thanks for listening, and God bless.